Sunkatamarilla.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sunkatamarilla.
Hey, this is James from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise.
He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by your friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash handyman of the Wild Talk Radio Network, Sir Rockin.
Hit me with your best shot. I dare ya. Dare ya.
Put up your dukes. Put up your dukes.
Let's go. They're up. Let's go. Let's fight it out. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go.
Boom, 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 boom. Well, we have a lot to boom, boom, boom into tonight because we have news. We have NXT. We have rants. And yes, we even have a little Wyatts for you because, well, stuff happens with the Wyatts this weekend. I need to talk about them. So, yeah, I don't think we should dilly-dally, do you?
No, I don't think we should. We should get right to it.
Well, before we get right to it, I say we tell people what the question of the night is first.
And what is the question of the night?
Who do you think Eric Rowan is searching for?
Huh. Who do I think he's searching for?
Well, I think we more want to know who the people think Eric Rowan is searching for.
The people came up with an answer.
yes, you did, and I love you people so much. I'm just going to stipulate that now.
The people love them some Lindsay Ward because she is apparently the hashtag favorite.
Oh, you know, when you're awesome.
You know, it's undeniable, I guess.
Yeah, it's undeniable. And speaking of undeniable, we can't deny the news any longer because we have a lot of news. So we're going to jump right into it. Brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And I think we have to start with some of the biggest news of the week. And that's right, we have another guest host coming to Monday Night Raw, but it's not just any guest host. Oh no. No, no. It is the king, or I should say queen, because she's female, of the cat memes. Grumpy Cat is coming to Raw?
Yeah.
We've had Muppets.
We've had Bob Barker.
We've even had Kathy Lee and Hoda, but Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat, yeah.
How are they going to make that work?
They made the Muppets work.
Yeah, but the Muppets are felt. This is a real life animal who is tiny and can get lost easily. Like, she's itty-bitty.
We hold a thing by her head and she'll look straight.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I guess they're going to keep her backstage. I seriously doubt they're going
to
bring
her out. They can't bring that to the ring. No, no.
No, they can't bring her out in front of the crowd. They just can't.
No, no. They made made a movie about this cat.
She's that popular?
That's why Grumpy Cat is coming onto the show on Monday night. Because Grumpy Cat's worst Christmas ever is to debut on November 29th on Lifetime. Filming took place over the summer, and Tim Hill and Jeff Morris wrote the script. Aubrey Plaza will be the one lending her voice talents to Grumpy Cat. For that movie, will she be lending her voices to Monday Night Raw? That's up in the air. I would assume so, maybe? I don't know.
I would guess so. I would have to say so. I mean, unless they... All I know is if they don't do something with Tyson Kidd and Natalya and Grumpy Cat, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, that would seem logical, and, you know, using logic in WWE, and yeah, it's one of those things. And a lot of people are up in arms about this one. They're like, I can't believe they're doing this. This is horrible. How could they? And it's like, it's the world of entertainment. It's WWE. Will it be the greatest segment we've ever seen? No. But I don't think it's gonna be the worst.
No, I think Kathy Lee and Hoda hold that one.
No, I think there's been worse than that.
I think there's been worse than that, but this year they're the worst. But
I mean, we had Jerry Springer after all this year too.
Actually, believe it or not, Jerry Springer was better than Hoda and Kathy Lee. Yeah, not by much.
Not by much, but yeah, I would agree with you on that one. But
I think people need to keep in mind one thing: WWE is going to get paid to have Grumpy Cat on the show.
They're advertising the movie.
They're advertising the movie, so they're going to see dollar signs from advertising the movie. That's the whole point of having these guest hosts on, is you bring them on to promote whatever it is they need to promote, and then you get paid for bringing that person on, or you get a kickback, essentially, for bringing that person on, whether it's money, whether it's advertising for you, whether it's somebody being in the movie, whatever. Whatever they work out in terms of having someone on, that's basically the trade-off. Because they trade their TV time for whatever that person's willing to give to be on TV.
Right, and it's going to be one of those segments. Hell, they probably might just do some with cat memes with Grumpy Cat and have the cat make pre-tape a bunch of things with the cat making different faces. And I don't know. They could do with something sort of like that. I don't know. The cat could just sit there grumpy for 5 minutes. Who knows? Will it be bad? Probably. Will it be horrible? No. It won't be a train wreck. It may make you laugh. I don't know.
Honestly, I'm not too terribly concerned, simply because I think they're going to understand that they're dealing with a live animal, and therefore she's not going to come out in front of the live crowd, or well, she shouldn't come out in front of the live crowd. So I have a feeling it's going to be entirely backstage.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, besides Tyson Kidd, who could actually interact with Grumpy Cat? All right, Eric Rowan, Grumpy Cat. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Eric, that's who Eric is searching for, is Grumpy Cat.
You know what? It is a she.
It is a she.
Then we may have just figured it out.
Oh, Lord, help us all.
If that's the case. Oh, man. But he could be so he could wind up finding the cat. And Eric Rowan, please don't eat the cat.
I can make a joke there. I won't. So, moving on. One of the other big stories of the week, and I want to get into this because shots were taken in this one.
Yeah.
Is that CM Punk is coming out of hiding. He has changed professions. He is no longer a professional wrestler, but a comic book writer, in which he is writing the latest installment for one of the Thor series. I forget which one, but yeah. One of Thor's.
Give me one second, I'll tell you about, all about it. Punk, a huge comic fan, has officially reached a deal with Marvel Comics debut as a comic writer in an upcoming Thor Annual Number 1, writing a story about a young Thor, which will be released in February. The only thing said to me by Jason Aaron was, "I need a story about a young Thor. Tell me what you think," said Punk. Punk said he pitched an idea and Aaron loved it, which was of young Thor as a brash, bratty teenager with the idea that he's resentful that his dad won't yet give him the hammer based on the idea of a father who won't let his son drive the expensive car. Punk said his plan is to become a full-time Marvel Comics writer. He approached Marvel in 2011 about writing a story about Punisher. He said he'll also be doing stories on all kinds of other characters.
Which, you know, good that he's found something to do, good that he's moving forward with his life. However, I think there are some people that aren't too okay with this.
No, this has been met with, besides fans who are, "Oh my god, yes, oh my god, I can't believe it, this is going to be the greatest thing in the whole wide world." Some people have been, there's been a little bit of a backlash on this whole thing, and it sort of came from a former guest of this show, Michael Kingston. Go back to RackRadioShow.com, listen to the interview right now.
Love you, Mike.
He goes, "Apparently CM Punk gets a gig running Thor. Sounds like a part-time celebrity stealing main event opportunities from up-and-coming talent. Hypocrite much? Unless I missed all the time he spent developing his craft as a comic book writer."
Shots fired. Shots fired.
That was a tremendous shot thrown by Michael Kingston at CM Punk. It's tremendous.
I mean, to be fair, it's something of, they've had guest writers come in the past for Marvel, for DC, for everyone. It's not unusual for a guest writer to come in, and it is a little unusual that they're going to be writing the whole series. Like, normally they do a book, and I think that's it. You know, to have Punk doing the entire annual, that's...
It's not a long thing, but it's just a one... It's not a big thing, but yeah. It's a big deal, though.
Oh, it's a huge deal, because it's something of, basically, he's being given... He's being given Thor, which is a pretty big deal, and especially with the Avengers and the Thor series in such a strong position right now. It's just very interesting that they're giving this to him with no prior experience.
Right. Michael Kingston's comments continued. Part-timers that had to earn their way there. 6-page Marvel stories like getting a spot at WrestleMania for an up-and-coming writer who, like a wrestler, had to spend years busting their ass for one of those slots. This is the very thing he bitched about in wrestling. Again, I get why they're doing it, but from my perspective, it's frustrating. Just as like it was frustrating from his perspective when part-timers came back and got slots he wanted.
Very true.
So those were the comments made by Michael Kingston, and I, you know, I back him 110% on this, because it's a great opportunity, and you know why Marvel's doing it, for the promotion and everything. It's CM Punk gets his name out there, but it's like, on one hand, he's right. This is what Punk rallied against in pro wrestling, and now he's taking it away from guys, not Michael Kingston exactly, but guys who've been spending their life working on that craft.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, again, yeah, I'm with Mike, I'm with Rock on this. I understand why Marvel's doing it, and Punk has friends inside of Marvel, they're hooking him up with the story, but the fact that you're being given this, that's a pretty huge thing, especially since it's never been proven that you can necessarily write a comic book. Writing for TV and wrestling and writing for comic books are two entirely different things, and while you may have the idea for it, and it's a good idea, you still have to execute it, and nobody knows if you really can. Like, that's the thing. That's kind of the troubling thing, is it could be the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't know how to execute it properly, it's going to suck, no matter what you do.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what the reviews are, whether they're negative, whether they're positive, when the comic comes out in February, because I believe it's a 6-page Thor 1 for the year. So it's like, okay, we'll see what it turns out to be. But don't know. It's just, it's very, very interesting.
Well, you know, I guess we'll have to tune into Bashing the Books with Mace to hear the review.
If he actually reviews it, yeah.
Yeah, you may have to encourage him to review it.
And also, CM Punk update for all you CM Punk fans. He's going to be on the show Talking Dead this week. So, be ready. He's going to talk Walking Dead on Talking Dead. Because he's been out in Hollywood and that sort of thing.
Yep. And speaking of out in Hollywood and making changes, and well, really not out in Hollywood, but making changes anyway, Alberto Del Rio released an official statement this week basically saying that he and WWE have mutually parted ways, everything is copacetic, and he is now available for booking. So basically WWE shut him up.
Following my departure from WWE, an understanding was reached with regards to my future booking opportunities. We wished each other well in our respective future endeavors. According to sources close to the situation, WWE was very conscious towards the potential public reaction tying them with racism against Hispanics, given that Hispanics make up about 20% of the U.S. audience, and Mexico is one of the company's top international markets. At a press conference before the recent Mexico City show, it was said that the press conference was more than bringing out the new Sin Cara and have him talk about all the opportunities. He was given a came loss like they were trying to push that they weren't racist more than promoting a show. Another source close to the talk said that this was a last-minute change. At one point, the joint settlement was expected to include a WWE apology for inappropriate remarks. The source said WWE agreed, but then in its written statement, the settlement agreement took that out of the deal. The story is that Rodriguez, Del Rio, had already agreed to the monetary settlement and complete freedom to work anywhere he wanted, so they didn't press the apology. There may have been some sympathy because the apology would have essentially been a public admission that the higher-ups in WWE were making racially insensitive remarks, and that going public in 2014 could be bad for the company.
Well, it would help if you know the racially insensitive remarks would stop.
Exactly. So, but they're handling that situation.
They're handling it, supposedly, so we'll see if anything happens with it. The individual that made said remarks to Del Rio is gone as well from the company. We reported that about 6 weeks ago. So that situation, at least for now, has been resolved. Del Rio is free to book, so if you have the money to book Alberto Del Rio, if I could talk tonight, go for it. And, well, speaking of not happy with an international market, we have Vince McMahon. I don't even know how to preface this, because it's just like, apparently Vince was not happy with the UK fans on this past tour, to the point where he was yelling at them to be more fan-like. Maybe. We have audio. You just have to hear the audio.
Yeah,
just go.
Just take a listen to this piece of sound from Vince McMahon.
People sitting on your hands out here, you're not having a good time, you're not cheering, you're not booing, and why? Make sure louder in Sheffield, make sure louder in Manchester, make sure louder all over the UK, except here in Liverpool. Guy in the front row, we were looking at Jericho. Guy next to him, I'm from Liverpool. I'm from Liverpool, too. Come on, what's the matter with you? Have some fun here tonight. Liverpool. What kind of name? What kind of name is Liverpool? Sound of Liverpool sounds like an old man's skin disease, doesn't it? Liverpool. Kind of like Ebola just kind of crawls up on you. Come on, have some fun here tonight, damn it!
Only Vince McMahon could get away with an Ebola joke.
Oh, Vince McMahon.
So, see? WWE fans, if you don't cheer to Vince's liking, he will come out and yell at you.
He will yell at you. He will, you know, call your talent disease.
I don't even know how to react to that. That's just like...
funny.
It's funny. Oh, it's hilarious because it's basically like, oh crap, they're not being loud enough. Because, you know, we all know that when they go over to the UK, that the crowds are usually insane.
Right.
They're similar to the ones after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but Vince was very disappointed in the size of the crowd at Liverpool for the second night, and thought they weren't loud enough in the opening segment. He wished they were louder. So after about an hour, you know, after main event and the opening segment of SmackDown, he was like, "I'm going to go out there and say something," and that's what he did.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's the second night in town, and everybody probably was. They were plenty loud at Raw. They made their presence felt, so, you know, it's like, honestly, what do you expect? It's the second night in the same town.
Right, and last year, in the second night in the town, you know who they brought in last year? You don't remember?
Taker?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about Taker, okay? You know, it's bad enough that I got the book from Brian Shields, and when I opened the book... it had a bookmark that said RIP the streak 21-1. I made the most inhuman sad sound you've ever heard in your life. It was literally my poor fangirl little heart just broke right there with the book in my hands because it's like...
By the way, speaking of the book, Tommy, if you're out there listening, you should be receiving the book in the next 7 to 10 business days.
Yes. Book is getting mailed tomorrow. I promise. I get paid tomorrow, so when I go out for lunch tomorrow, I will send it to you. I promise. I have your address, so yes. Thank you so much for being patient. We apologize for the delay. It just showed up Wednesday.
So
I love you, Brian. I love you, man.
So, transitioning out of Vince McMahon, really quick, it was announced earlier today that there will be a follow-up to the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery. They're doing a sequel.
We're going back to WWE City!
With Hulk Hogan, brother.
Oh, shit.
So what you gonna do, brother, when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
Why can't we get Taker? Or Bray? You know what? No. Why the hell... can we not get Bray Wyatt in it? Because there was the creepy old man with the shotgun running around the woods that looked like he belonged as a part of the Wyatt clan.
Hey,
Damn it, we need Wyatts in the next one.
They could be.
WWE, if you are within the sound of my voice, put Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper in the next Scooby-Doo movie. For the love of God, do it. Or at least put a Taker. He's not doing anything. Get a Taker and put him in there. Be amazing. Kane was in the last one. Kane went a little psycho. We can have Taker.
Also coming soon, WWE will be releasing ECW Unreleased Volume 3 this January on DVD and Blu-ray. They'll be hosted by Joey Styles, Stevie Richards, and the Blue Meanie. Yes,
there's
that's right.
Wrong group.
There you go, folks. The BWO is once again taking over.
Oh, God. I'm just terrified. That's all I got. I'm just terrified.
But you know who won't be taking over Raw anytime soon?
Who?
Zack Ryder.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it?
Apparently Mr. Ryder suffered a torn rotator cuff and is going to need surgery, and it'll put him out up to 6 months.
Ow.
Yeah.
Feel better, Zack.
Yeah, it's one of those injuries like, ow, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, which means, well, I guess that means he's gonna miss WrestleMania.
You do the math, yeah.
Yeah. Which sucks because, well, he won't be there in San Fran to, you know, help bring in all the money that the city's gonna get because, you know, New Orleans supposedly got $142.2 million from WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, the WWE going to New Orleans was very, very, very successful. It generated the income, as she mentioned, almost $142 million in revenue. And it's like, wow, that's kind of amazing how much they can bring into it to a city.
I think they brought like $90 million to Atlanta when they were here. So it doesn't surprise me that they did almost $142 million in New Orleans, because New Orleans is a party town. So everybody was just living it up and having fun.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't surprise me, but it's like, this is why the WWE has bids for the WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's to the point where it's a big economic boon for any city that gets it. Because people come in all over the world, and it just helps to boost the local economies. And, yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great service for the city that they provide. And people are fighting for WrestleMania.
Yeah, they fight for it. They put in bids. And it's just, it's incredible. $142.2 million in direct, indirect, and induced impact derived from spending visitors by New Orleans. By visitors to New Orleans for WrestleMania 30, 79% of the fans that attended WrestleMania were from outside the greater New Orleans region and stayed an average of 3.7 nights. $22.5 million was spent on hotels accommodations within New Orleans region. The economic impact derived from WrestleMania week was equal to the creation of 1,662 full-time jobs for the area. $10.7 million was spent by visitors to New Orleans at area restaurants. Those are some of the breakdowns of the numbers. This marks the third consecutive year that WrestleMania generated more than $100 million in economic impact for its host city. WrestleMania 30 also generated approximately $24.3 million in federal, state, and local taxes. WrestleMania helps. So, when your city gets it, it's a big to-do.
Pretty damn impressive.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so... congratulations to New Orleans, congratulations to WWE, and best of luck, San Francisco. Let's see if you can top it.
Right, and one of the rumored people appearing at WrestleMania 31 may not be able to, or will be in and out, because he's a new film he's going to be working on.
Oh, yeah?
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment, The Rock, will be teaming up with comedian Kevin Hart for a new buddy comedy called Central Intelligence, which will begin filming this spring.
I wonder if they're filming that here.
I don't know.
Who's putting it out?
I don't have the information in front of me.
Interesting. The only reason I ask is they film a lot of Kevin Hart's films here in Atlanta, so maybe I'll have to go see if I can find a Rock.
Maybe. Maybe you will have to do that. Maybe you could get a part as an extra in a movie.
Anything's better than being an extra in The Walking Dead, just saying. Because that shot here as well. The day that I see a zombie walking down the street, it's just going to be bad. It's going to be so bad.
And one other thing. Speaking of a WrestleMania-type deal, one of the voices of WrestleMania past... well, won't be calling WrestleMania this year, but he's calling a big event that sort of is like WrestleMania.
Oh.
That'll be one good old JR Jim Ross. He is returning to the Pro Wrestling announce booth for New Japan Pro Wrestling's, or I should say, Global Force Wrestling presents New Japan Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom at the Tokyo Dome. On January 4th, he'll be the lead announcer for the pay-per-view broadcast, for Global Force Wrestling. It was officially announced today. This will be the first professional wrestling broadcast hosted by Ross since his WWE departure last year. He will be ringside for the event. Because that was one of the keys to the deal, where it's like, he didn't want to do it if he had to do it in a studio. He wanted to be ringside. And that's what they gave him. They gave him ringside. So JR will be calling the action for GFW Presents New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 9 on January 4th. Again, that show will air live at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific, and re-air in primetime at 7 p.m. It'll be available on DirecTV, Dish, ATUverse, Comcast, Verizon Wireless, and all cable systems in Canada and the U.S.
That's a pretty big snag for GFW.
Yeah, it is. That's a big one. Again, this is the only one he has agreed to do. Just to make point of that, he's made that very clear. This is the one and only one he's agreed to do for now, but if he likes it, you know, it could become one of those big to do things.
Right.
So we'll have to see.
We will have to see, and best of luck to GFW, New Japan, and JR as they move forward with the project. And here's to hoping there's many more to come.
Pretty much, yeah.
So on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT, including the title match between Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn, who won, and of course, the official in-ring debut of Finn Balor, a.k.a. Prince Devitt. So you don't want to miss that. So everyone, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. They say they ain't heard nothing like this in a while. That's why they play my song on so many different dials. Cause I got more kids than a disciplined child. So when they see me, everybody barack, barack. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack. I cry teardrops over the massive attack. I only make hits like I work with a racket and back. Look on my jacket and hat, so damn bizarre. So down to earth, I'm bringing gravity back. Adopted by the major, I want my family back. People work hard just to get all their salary tax. Look, I'm just a writer from the get all that Mallory Black, man. Where the hell for the sanity at? Damn, I used to be the kid that no one cared about. That's why you have to keep screaming till they hear you out.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and the first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost and Jarvis! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
Case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down here to stop the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs that happen to be stop motion animation. Change it up just a little bit.
Because she forgot the first part.
No, I didn't forget the first part. I was going to screw it up again, so decided, let's change it, because, you know, why not? It is my show after all, right?
We'll go with that.
We'll totally go with that. So now I say we jump right into tonight's exciting NXT.
And it opened up with Finn Balor, and off the bat, I wasn't a fan of his entrance. He did some sort of forward roll and then sort of creepily walked up the steps and just, I don't know, it made him seem very, very small. At least that was how I saw it. It just, I don't know, I was not a fan of what he was going for.
I think part of it was that a lot of what he relies on in the entrance is the makeup that he used to wear, the body paint.
Yeah, and I think he was still trying to do the old entrance without the look.
Yeah, I think they're still trying to feel him out and figure out what he's doing and what he's up to and that kind of thing, so.
But Mr. Balor was out there and he had a microphone and he wanted to say a few things.
My name is Finn Balor. And I'm here at NXT because I am the future. I'm sure you have a riveting life story
But the problem is, nobody cares, especially me. Fact. You've been here for what, a cup of coffee? And I'm supposed to pretend that you're the guy? I was brought into this business the right way, as a heart. And as a heart, the first thing we're taught is respect, something you clearly lack. Fact.
You know what, Tyson is absolutely right. It feels like every single week a new big international superstar arrives, walks down this aisle, gets some cool music, and thinks he's a top guy. Well, here's the thing. You gotta get through us first. We're gonna show you exactly how far away from the top you are, buddy.
This might not be good for Finn Balor. Oh, ho, ho, ho!
And look at this.
And that's where Mr. Hideo Itami showed up. And that sort of thing. They cleared the Gabriel and Kid out of the ring. Until a referee ran down and said, Regal says, we have match now. But before we get to that, fact. Is Gabriel heel or is he face? Or is he face or is he heel or is he... I'm confused.
I would guess, since Balor's a face, that Gabriel's a heel.
But he, last week he was a face, and he's a face on WWE TV, and I just... you know... I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. I think it's more the...
whatever suits him that week.
Yeah, kind of thing, you know, type deal, whatever works for him, and I don't know. I got nothing. I mean, the match itself was good. There were a few rough spots, namely Finn doing the stomp off the top rope.
Yeah, the double stomp. They had a good match, as you mentioned, the double stomp off the top rope. I don't know, I feel like he's been doing it forever. You feel like he's gonna, like, hurt himself on the double stomp if he doesn't land correctly.
Right.
And the match was fine. They made Balor work the WWE style where he has to make the comebacks and stuff. He had a nice Pele kick during the match. Hideo was good with the kicks he did. We had a full Nelson in the match at one point by Gabriel, which was nice to see. So Gabriel and Kid controlled a majority of the match. Hideo got caught at one point with a big running boot. Gabriel, they got tagged in, went for a crossbody, but got kicked in the midsection. Kid is legal at this point, gets taken out by a kick by Hideo. Balor gets tagged in. Kid and Gabriel are down in the corners. We have the double running dropkick. And then, as Lindsay mentioned, the double foot stomp for the win. Finn Balor and Hideo. It was a solid match. Again, They're trying with Finn Balor and Hideo Itami just sort of get them acclimated to the WWE style, which is hard to do.
Right.
And it's just sort of one of those things where it's like, huh, okay, I see where that happens. But yeah, and we'll see how they go. I feel like these new guys are relying on kicks, and I think everyone in NXT are relying on heavily on kicks, I think that may be a bad idea at some point.
Well, the thing is the Daniel Bryan kicks, the CM Punk kicks are very popular, and so I think they're sort of telling their instructors down in NXT, okay, make sure they all know how to do the kick just in case they pull it and it happens to catch on with the fans, and then that's another way that they can get over with the fans. So I think they're trying to have the guys that are down there now learn what's popular kind of in the company now and going forward.
Yeah, and as again, they're good. I'm going to say this. Hideo and Finn Balor have great kicks. I don't know. I think they need a match where what we haven't seen for either guy is a match where we're defining who they are.
Well, I mean, to be fair, this was Balor's first match, and this was Hideo's, what, second or third?
But, I mean, yes, but again, I think the point is they're not letting them give them a squash match, is basically it. Like, even in when Hideo fought Gabriel a few weeks ago, when in his debut, he wasn't given the chance to work a squash match and show us this is his arsenal of moves. If that makes sense.
Right, because I think they're still trying to feel him out, and he's still trying to feel them out. Like, I don't think this isn't something where he's coming in from somewhere else in the States. He's not like Kevin Steen. Just use the perfect example. He's not Kevin Steen coming in. He's going to require a little bit more work because he hasn't necessarily worked in the U.S. market. He doesn't necessarily understand it. So there's still, and so because of that, he works a very different style from what we work here in the U.S. Pretty much everywhere outside the U.S. works a completely different style than here in the U.S. So guys like Balor and Atami have to learn the U.S. style, and more specifically, the WWE style of wrestling. And that just is going to take some time, and once they start to pick that up and move forward, then they'll start to define them as wrestlers. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. I just want to see more. I want to see them define them more as stars, and they shouldn't be coming from behind this early. They should be. If they're supposed to be big to do's, let them come out and sort of dominate. You know what I mean?
Right.
The better example is you look at what they're doing with guys like their own guys, like the White Taz and. Who's the guy squashing everybody in 5 seconds?
Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin, thank you. Forgot his name for a second. Where we're seeing them define themselves by moves and dominate victories. And these guys, Balor and Atami, are supposed to be the it guys. I want to see them get sort of that treatment a little bit as well. The competitive matches are good, but I want to see them get a combination of both. And then you can really see who they are and define who they are.
Right, and I can understand that, and eventually we will get that. It's just not yet. If that makes sense.
Right.
But moving forward.
We had a hype package from showcasing last year's match between Neville and Sami Zayn, and then we heard from Mr. Sami Zayn.
Hi, Sammy. Can you tell us your thoughts?
All right. What was that? Hi. I'm so nervous in front of you. Hi.
She has a crush.
No, he has a crush. He was very uncomfortable. He was like, hi. I think that was supposed to be a hi. Anyway, continue.
Into tonight's match against the NXT champion, Adrian Neville.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. I can tell you about how I think Adrian Neville's been a great champion for close to a year now, that would be very true. But, above all else, I just feel like this is different. Something about tonight is very different from other opportunities I've had in the past. And this road to redemption thing that we've been talking about, it's not just a clever way to label a couple of important wins. I feel like this is destiny. Destiny coming together. And the thing about destiny is it never, ever makes mistakes. I think tonight's going to unfold exactly how it's supposed to.
Unfold how it's supposed to. We'll see.
Interesting choice of words.
It is an interesting choice of words. Can't get over this. His stuttering in the beginning of the promo. Anyway. It's a girl and she talked to me. She knew my name. Anyway, Sasha Banks takes on Alexa Bliss. Alex Riley compared Alexa Bliss to a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. No. No. Please. No. No.
I would more say she's a little cupcake that, you know, has some bite to her, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Don't compare her to the Cowboys, because the Cowboys suck. Anyway.
He took the shot, not me.
Not me. I'm just, I should preface it. Hashtag Cowboys UK.
Anyway, this was a great match between Sasha and Alexa. I really liked it. They got rough with each other. Alexa got a bloody nose.
Yeah, she did. She had a bloody nose after Sasha did the snap mare and then a running knee right to the face, and she just smashed her nose up. It was something, all right. Good match between the two. Sasha had a little bit of control for a while. She did the whole double stomp in the corner, which is becoming a trademark. But Bliss was able to escape a surfboard, got to a quick pin, hit forearms, hit a tilt-a-whirl head scissors, connected with a sunset flip bomb out of the corner, which was really, really nice for a two count. Big clotheslines, but eventually gets taken down, dropped by a dropkick by Sasha, who hits the backcracker, back statement, and Bliss taps out.
Great, great match between the two. Again, these two got rough. I liked how they kept going despite the bloody nose. It was great.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. We then heard from Miss Sasha Banks.
Aww. You okay? I hope you are watching that, Charlotte, because you have what I want. And that is the NXT Women's Championship. So how about we finally make it official? Actually, how about you just hand it over to me? Because I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to embarrass you anyway. And I'm going to show you and the entire NXT universe why I am the baddest diva and NXT.
Ooh, strong words.
Them is fighting words, and I hope you're ready for Charlotte, Sasha. I really hope you're ready for that. Because, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Because Charlotte's going to whoop your ass.
I love you, Sasha, but yeah, I'm kind of in agreement on that.
She's gonna whoop your ass. Woo! We heard from the challenger. Now let's hear from the champ.
Adrian, how do you feel about your title defense against Sami Zayn tonight?
Well, Sami's a good, good friend of mine, as everybody knows. And he's undoubtedly an incredible competitor. You know, no matter the situation, no matter the scenario, Sammy's going to give 110%, and that's why everybody loves Sammy. You know, I love Sammy, but the fundamental difference between Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn, and Sammy's proven this time after time, is that he can't win the big one. And we'll see that tonight. We'll see that tonight when I leave with the NXT Championship over my shoulder, and Sammy leaves once again disappointed.
Fighting words. Taking shots.
Right.
We then had the Lucha Dragons take on Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy, and my only really comment from the beginning is, the Lucha Dragons really, 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 really yellow. That their outfit was really, really, really yellow, and the shirt on top of that, it's really, really neon yellow. My eyes...
Yeah, it was a little like eyeball burning.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah. So the story of the matchup was Murphy and Blake dominated at Kalisto. Kalisto kept making comebacks, but kept getting taken back down by the team of Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake, which is a good story to tell. Kalisto was able to finally make the tag. He flipped, which was nice. Kalisto got monkey flipped, and he just sort of did a flip over the dude and rolled through to make the tag, which was very nice. Tagged in Sakaar, who had his fine crossbody, head scissors, the back elbow, two count on Blake. Lucha chants were going crazy, but Blake cut off Sakaar for a minute. But Sakaar takes out Murphy as he was elevated over Blake. Kalisto then did a nice corkscrew over the top rope on Murphy, and Sakaar hit a huge slam and a senton for the win. The winners of the match, the Lucha Dragons, and they were trying to bring up during the match that, that Buddy Murphy and Wesley Blake want to be the most functional tag team in NXT, and, you know, the team that gets the most wins. And that, the Lucha Dragons haven't been tested since winning titles. It's only been 6 weeks, as they were trying to point out, but it's like, yeah, they haven't been tested, but again, there hasn't been much to test them yet, because the true challenge will come at, the next live event special on December 11th.
Which should be exciting.
Because who are they facing on December 11th?
I don't know. Oh, wait, no, I know. The Pod Villains. And I hope they win.
And you hope they win. To give everyone a little bit of update before we go in a little farther, one, you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. And in the football game, it is 19-9 Miami Dolphins over the Buffalo Bills in the fourth quarter. 19-9 is an odd score.
Like, yeah, that is a weird score.
You don't really see. That's why I wanted to point it out. I was like, 19-9, that's field goals and, yeah, that's...
Somebody got a safety.
They must have. Because yeah, that would be the only way to sort of get that score. So yeah, up 10 points with 7 minutes to go in the game. It's like, huh, alright then. So, yeah, that's the update there. Now we hear from the number one contenders for the tag team titles.
Gentlemen, tonight the Lucha Dragons were victorious. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, let me remind you that we are number one contenders, the Vaudevillains. And as far as the Lucha Dragons are concerned, it's simply this. Congratulations, boys, on your continued success in NXT. But Simon Gotch and myself, we have a message for you. Kalisto, Sin Cara, keep the gold shined and the leather oiled. For those titles will not be staying with two children. They'll be going home with two men.
That was just slightly creepy.
Just a little bit.
Adrian, honey. Or not Adrian. Aiden, honey. We gotta have a talk. Just pointing that out.
Just pointing that one out. Good promo, though. This brings us to the main event, NXT Championship, Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, and they had a really, really, really good match.
Yeah, a really, really, really good match is the understatement of the decade. This is a great, great match.
The fans were really into this. We had a bunch of Olay chants throughout the matchup. There was a tease at one point where Zayn would dive over the top rope, but he just did a flip back into the ring, and was like, ooh, he faked him out. He held open the ropes for Neville, and Neville was like, screw that, I'm going to hop into the ring, because he wasn't happy about it at all.
So, yeah, just continuing to talk about the match, because he was kind of in the middle of calling it, and I'm not going to even begin to try to call the movesets, because, yeah, that will just get weird and awkward and ugly. Yeah.
You don't want to call the moveset? No?
Nope. Okay. I can't read your notes for shit.
I know. Sorry, I was coughing. Anyway, so we came back from break. Neville had a chin lock on Zayn. Zayn escapes, but he gets nailed with a running uppercut in the corner. Neville with chops in the corner on Zayn with a big clothesline, locking back in a chin lock, wearing him down. Zayn tries to fight back, but gets taken down repeatedly. Nice roundhouse kick. So he kept trying to keep him down, trying to keep him down. Zayn eventually did hit a big flip with two Neville on the outside of the ring. Zayn was starting to flat fire, cross body, but he got hurt on that one. Seemed like Neville countered. Neville then hit the standing shooting star, two count. Neville tries to get up, but Zayn up for a pile driver or a powerbomb something, but Zayn got out of it. Neville with a hand scissors, and then it lands on the shoulder of Zayn, but gets taken down with a big powerbomb, which was a very nice spot for a long two count. Neville fights back into it with kicks. Zayn ducks, but hits two Germans, and then I guess it was a dragon suplex for a very long two count. Zayn then went for the Helluva kick, but Neville gets his foot up. Neville gets caught, but counters the exploder suplex into a roll-up for a two-count. Zayn gets laid out by Neville, who goes to the top ropes. The fans are chanting, no, 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 as Neville then missed the red arrow. But then he comes up and holds his knee. It's like, oh. Zayn's lined up for a Helluva kick again, but Neville goes down, holding his knee again. The ref throws up the vaunted X sign, tells Zayn to back away, and then he starts showing concern for his friend Adrian Neville. The referee was checking on him. Zayn was checking on him. Then, as he leans down to look onto Neville, and, well, Neville catches him in a small package for the victory. And then after that, Neville's holding on his knee, but Zayn just sits there with this big old stunned look on his face. So it's like, what?
Yeah, he was just a little shocked that it happened. Yeah, and I still think he's shocked, honestly. Like, I don't think he's gotten over it yet.
Like, Neville said some words to him, but I don't think Sammy understood what he said, and he just sat there in shock. And, yeah, they kept throwing up the axe after the match, and Neville was hurt, and it was like, okay, cool. Like, the finish.
Yeah, great, great, great finish. And Zayn smacked the crap out of his knee. Or not Zayn, Neville. I'll get him right.
Yeah, you'll get them right at one point.
Oh. As he continues to cough and lose his mind. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
As you heard the last cough. Oh, man. Anyway. Yeah, so they kept throwing up the X sign, and it was like, Zayn was just sitting there like, what the hell? I just lost again. My friend. He was my friend, but he hurt his knee, and my poor, I guess the way everyone was going, poor Sammy. Poor Sammy.
He needs a hug.
Sami Zayn needed a hug after this one. It's like, aww. So, once again, he couldn't win the big one.
Nope. And he got beat.
Clean.
By an injured guy on top of it.
Clean.
Clean, too, yeah. So, well, I guess the search for a new number one contender continues.
I guess it begins next week on NXT. This was a good show. Good opener. Good main event. Really good main event. And the women's match was pretty good as well. Not a bad show. Very entertaining.
I would agree with that. Very entertaining. I really like the women's match. I really like the main event. I thought it was all really good. Baylor and Itami need to continue to find themselves. I think Itami is on his way, and obviously Baylor is just getting started. So we'll have to see where they go from there.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yes, we will. But when we come back, Lindsay, I'm just going to sit back.
Oh, no. First, I'm going to sit back because Mr. Producer Man over there has her, like, 50 billion tweets, so I'm sorry in advance, y'all. I have, like, 3.
So
he has 50.
So it balances
not
out.
Not even exaggerating over here.
No.
So I'm going to sit back, and then you're going to sit back, because when we come back after the break, we are going to be doing, obviously, Tweet of the Week, and we have our discussions, including the rant. And, well, we're going to be talking all about Eric Rowan and his
search.
He might be looking for.
His search for love?
His search for love. So you're listening to The Rocker here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. But if you really love me, you would have ignored my will. Well, if you were just as I presumed,
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE. And you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Renee Young, I just simultaneously downloaded Twitter back on my phone and also put new batteries in my Wii. So goodbye for another week, men. Hashtag it's a me. CM Punk, been married to an angel for 6 months now. Since neither has maimed the other, lots of our friends owe us money. Pay up, suckers.
at Bailey LA Kings. At CM Punk, so happy for both of you, but never forget you loved me first. AJ Lee, I'm going to beat your ass, Lion. To which Bailey Kings responds, you and what army? I hear you're going to be the new valet for at Real Page WWE.
Thank you for using those tweets.
You're welcome.
Because I couldn't fit them into mine.
No, you have a cap.
Yeah, and they came out today, and I was like, aww. I blew my cap way too early. Anyway, Bailey at Real King Regal. Mr. Regal, sir, I hate to bother you, but is there any way I can have a steel cage match with Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch? Sasha Banks replied, yes, Mr. Regal. Lock her up in a cage so she can leave me alone. Okay, thanks. Becky Lynch goes, Sasha, get the tables. Michael Rapper goes, I think the reason why Comcast hasn't fixed my internet is because their internet is out too. Probably because it was provided by Comcast. Rockstar Spud, tweeting to Taryn Terrell, can I have a photo? I have $5. Sup? She replied, for you, Spud, anything for you. He replied, can we watch Notting Hill together? And then, you know, she goes, okay, a little far, Spud. Too soon? How about Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? Tina Turner is in it. She replied, how about a thriller? He replied, Michael Jackson? Yes, I have moonwalked at my mom's place. I heart Spud. He's kind of amazing.
He's hilarious.
Kevin Cooney, holy crap, I just saw Michael Vick slide. It's a rare thing. Kevin's Dean tweeted, at The Rock, I just got shushed in Target because I popped too loudly for this. Hashtag shoulder breakers for everyone. Which was the old school 1996 Rocky Maivia figure. With the big old...
Oh, yeah, I've seen those...
big hair
and
stuff.
I've seen them everywhere over Target.
The Rock replied, don't know what's funnier, my lame-ass haircut and wrestling outfit, or the badass Kevin Steen getting shushed in Target. Kevin Steen replied, the dude in the electronics department was in a grumpy mood. Dolph Ziggler, watching Sunday Night Football at 1:30 a.m. in England. Hope they still drive down the right side of the field. Ziggler, come on, Chicago Bears, don't make me switch to the darts channel or the other darts channel. Hashtag Sunday Night Football in England. Peter King, Jay Cutler history versus Green Bay. Win-loss, 1-10, 22 interceptions. He has never played in a game versus Green Bay without throwing a pick. He was horrible on Sunday Night Football. This is for future sports headlines. If J-Lo is ever involved in a gambling scandal, Jenny and the bets. Jamal Charles is named head coach. Charles in charge. DJ Fluker gives the game ball to his mother. Surprise, Mother Fluker. Everyone's favorite 80s running back Kevin Mack unretires and signs with the Packers. Return of the Mac and Cheese. Yanks first baseman cursed a New York team and the coach wearing glasses won anyway. Rex and Specs, Rex Tex, Jets Hex. Corey Graves goes, the authority offered opportunities, titles, and more to Ryback. He probably would have joined your team for an Outback gift card. WWE Creative Ish. Ryback is stiffer in pre-tapes than he is in the ring. Three-man booth. I thought Ryback only knew the words that were on his singlet. When did he get so eloquent? Awful announcing. If Mark Sanchez can find success in Philly, maybe it's not too late for Matt Line. Nah. Not going to happen for Matt Linehart. Linehart, I should say. Keep it five-star. Stephanie, will Rusev be joining Team Authority? Mark Henry, please say no. Please say no. Lana, Rusev will join. Mark Henry, damn it. The fake ESPN. Cam Newton doing his part to raise awareness for testicular cancer in November by losing balls. Three-man booth. The WWE is a multi-faith organization. You can follow the buzzard, you can hope for a new day, or you can believe.
All you have to do.
That's all you have to do is believe. This is for hashtag ruin a 90s band. New underage kids on the block, red hot chili tampons, rage against the Facebook, ice pube.
Ow. Red hot chili tampons, ow. No.
Stone Temple flight attendants, the offspring of Kris Jenner, Destiny's Not My Child, Accounting Crows, Faith Hill No More, Alice in Menstrual Pains, Jane's Addiction, Jane's Recovery, Jane's Relapse, Jane's Overdose, hashtag Ruin a 90s Man, Tom Green Day, Stone Temple Malaysian Airline Pilots. So, Pro Wrestling Network goes, so this is what the WWE Network looks like in the UK, since it was out yesterday. Melinda Blue goes, did Kim Kardashian's ass also break the WWE Network?
Apparently it broke everything.
Apparently it did. ProWrestling.net, this is WWE Network's reenactment of what Dixie Carter has told the TNA talent and office staff about the company's future is riveting. Since there was nothing. Tommy Dreamer, at Mickey James is an amazing wrestler, mother, and one of my favorite people to be around. But the fact she got me hooked on Candy Crush, she needs a beating. And finally, Betty Frickin' White. It's nice to see Kim Kardashian get back to what made her famous in the first place, being naked. And that is Tweet of the Week.
And well, now we're just going to go right into the rant, and he's just going to sit back and he's going to listen to me go off, because I've held this in for a couple days now. And I just wanted to address this. I know I'm late to the party on it. Basically, what I'm going to go off on is the WWE 2K15 announcement that they are pulling several modes from the game, including the create an arena, create a storyline, and also really the one that I'm going to go off on, which is create a diva. And I'm not a gamer. I don't pretend to be a gamer, but I know plenty of people that are. And I was actually halfway considering buying 2K15 just because of the new mode, just because of the new gameplay and to see how they had done it and to see the graphics and to just see a lot of things. And also, I've been considering buying an Xbox One for a while because I have the network. So it's something of it would be easier for me to watch the network on the Xbox and my computer. My issue with this is that, one, they waited till now to announce that it's not going to have these modes, in particular the Create a Diva mode. And in the past, when I bought the games, because I bought 2008 and 2K13, you've always had the ability to create your own wrestler, both male and female. And I find it a little ridiculous on 2K's part that they felt that the Create a Diva mode was a non-essential mode for the game. And it's also really kind of insulting at the same time. It's like, it's bad enough that the girls can't have the same kind of storylines that the guys have, that for this particular game, that the women can't go from NXT to WrestleMania. But now, you know, as a female gamer, as a female player, I can't even create my own character, because let's be perfectly honest, anybody that creates their own character in any kind of game, they're Mary Suing themselves into the game. We all do it. We're all guilty of it. There's no shame in it. That's literally the first thing you do. Is you create your own character. It looks like you. It is you. And then that way you can act out whatever fantasies you want in the game within reason. So the fact that they've pulled the diva mode and I can't even create my own divas anymore sucks. And it's insulting. Because this is, to me, what their opinion of women in general is for the game, for the company, and everything else is, oh, they're not essential. Oh, we don't really need them. Oh, they can just deal with the divas that are already in the game. And mind you, I'm sure there's a perfectly logical reason as to why the divas mode did not go in the game. I have every confidence and faith that it will probably go back in next year, since they basically built this game from the ground up. But that doesn't soothe me or excuse the fact that they did build this from the ground up and they couldn't make it work and they couldn't get in the game. And when they're sitting here and they're saying, oh, it's the most realistic game we've ever had and we have the facial scans and we've invented all this new technology for the hair, but oh, hey, by the way, we pulled these non-essential things, including Create Your Own Diva, out. No. I'm sorry, no. That to me is just really kind of crap and insulting, and I just don't even know what to say about it. And I know I'm not the only one. I know there are a lot of people out there that are pissed because they're upset over the different modes, but there are a lot of women in general that are upset about the Create a Diva being pulled. Because that's basically 2K and WWE flipping us a giant middle finger, like, oh, hey, you know, you're not essential, you don't matter. And that shouldn't be the case. It's like you want to keep the girls out of having good storylines, fine. You want to keep them out of having the ability to go to WrestleMania from NXT, fine. I don't like it. I think the women should be treated just as fairly as the men in the game, because that's only right, but we all know that right doesn't necessarily win out all the time. So, and what's interesting about this is, like, WWE and 2K are offering no response. They just sort of quietly announced this, and then it exploded.
Yeah, as you've been going off, I've been trying to see if they put out a statement, and I haven't seen any so far.
Yeah, they're probably not going to. They're probably not going to say anything about it. But yeah, I mean, in terms of me, I was on the fence about buying the game, and now I really have no interest in buying the game, at least not when it first comes out, because it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, I can't play it how I like to play it, and I can't benefit from the full experience. So why am I going to pay $60 for something that I'm really not going to enjoy? And that's the thing, is it's like, if I'm not going to enjoy it anymore, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be true for a lot of people, because it's just, you know, they took certain things out of the game that made it special, that made it unique. And that included that, you know, hey, you can create female characters, you can create your own titles, you can create your own, pretty much your own universe within this game.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, to me, it feels massively insulting. And, you know, I know WWE is all about this empowering women thing, and I'm sure that they don't necessarily have anything to do with the decision, but I would think that keeping the Divas mode in to represent for young girls everywhere, and older women as well, would be important. But I guess not. I guess it's just kind of a load of crap. At least to me, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't really add anything much to it. It just sort of, they gave their explanation in the article on their website, and that's pretty much the deal, and that seems to be the only response they're going to give on it. And I understand why they've done certain things, and like the creative belt, I've never been on, because just never seemed interested in it, but I like the Creative Arena from last year, and they sort of pulled back on it this year, and I understand why, because again, they focused a lot on building out the new characters, and that took a lot of the time, modeling wise, so you can't transfer modes over because you would have to redo it from scratch, because again, you're bringing it to a whole new platform, and I get why they did it. I understand behind it, but it's like, as I was telling Lindsay the other night, it's like, blast month I had the last game, I was playing Divas matches. That was the only thing I was doing for like a month. And it was really fun to play. It's like, there's going to be some good Divas in the game, but it's like, you can't really, there's like, you're going to have 6-7 Divas and then you're about done. And that sort of limits what you can possibly do with the game. It's like, that's a little harsh, and that's a little taken aback. But again, I understand it, but it just doesn't seem right. And they're losing out on a fan base, and that may come back to bite them.
Yeah, I mean, it's something of, I feel like there should be equal representation, and maybe they feel like they have it in the fact that there are Divas in the game, but when there's only, like, maybe 10 Divas max out of a, 60-person roster... that's not equal representation. And part of what made it more equal was the fact that you could go in and create your own diva. You could create as many women as you want, so you could have a full women's roster of 60 or so girls if you wanted in the game. And that's the thing, is it's like, it just, it, the thing that gets me is just this belief that it's a non-essential mode, because that feels so sexist. It really does, and you're right. They're missing out on a fan base.
Right, and their statement was, the primary reason we did not announce the changes earlier is due to teamwork until the last minute to retain as many features as possible. This decision was difficult, extremely difficult, but it was necessary in order to deliver a more focused and polished game.
The thing is I would rather sacrifice a little bit of the polish to have more functionality and be able to play more of the game. Because it's like, yeah, you know what, I can play the game. Logic states, I can play it as a male character. I can have the full functionality as a male character. Here's the thing, I don't want to play as a male character. If I buy a video game and I have the option of creating my own character, I really kind of want to play with my own character, and usually 9 times out of 10, my characters are female. And because, obviously, I'm a girl. So it's something of the fact that I can't do that anymore. That's what really kind of irritates me, and it's just, it's like, you spent all this time on the guys, right? All this time on them, you know, getting the environment right, getting the screen captures right, getting everything perfect for the guys, and then the girls are kind of an afterthought. And then it's, oh, well, you know, we're not going to put it in because we can't necessarily make it work, and we don't want the game to suffer, which I understand. But it's like, if you had done your market research, what is it, over half of all gamers are female now?
I don't know if it's half, but There's a good percentage. It's growing. The female gamer percentage is growing.
Yeah, it's growing by leaps and bounds. And also WWE has, what'd they say? 4 million female fans?
Something to that effect, yes.
Yeah. Quite a lot of female fans. So it's basically like, you know, you're thumbing your nose at your female audience and not giving them a chance to necessarily play the game that they... in the way that they may want to play it. Now, yeah, sure, I can play as The Undertaker, I can play as Kane, I can play as Bray Wyatt, I can play as anybody I want, but it comes down to the fact that I can't create the characters that I want. I can't enjoy it the way that I would, or that I do with 2K13. I mean, if you just kind of want to flip this on your ear and think about it for a second, say, you know, there was a 60-person... female roster, and 10 of them were men. And then 2K comes out and says, oh yeah, well, you know, we did all these great features for the female characters, and yeah, we cut the men's mode out because, well, we didn't want to sacrifice quality. How would you feel?
That would suck.
That would suck. You know, it's something of, it's just equal representation, and if the quality's going to suffer a little bit, to me, you know what, the quality's worth it to have a fully functioning game. Because seeing the quality, it's like, yeah, it's fantastic, it's great, it's a beautiful, beautiful made game. I'm not taking anything away from the people that made it, but whoever made that judgment call and taking the women, you know, in terms of that mode out of the game, that's a bad call. And I think you're right. I think that will come back and bite them in the ass.
Right, and there's nothing they can do about this year's game, and I would assume it will be back next year, because they'll be more familiar with the technology and being, again, there's been a lot of backlash, and I think they've read it all, and they're going to continue to read it all, and the best way to show them is giving them the feedback, and we'll see what kind of numbers the game draws in this new... When it comes out on Tuesday, and see how it draws over time. And if there's a backlash from fans, it'd be like, see, this is why you would have had more sales if you promoted more. And again, they haven't been very upfront with a lot of modes in this game, and you could tell when there's a lot of changes made to a game, you could tell when they're very, very quiet. And they've been very, very quiet about this game. And that's why my expectations aren't very high for this game. I expect it to be a good game, but I don't expect it to be the greatest game of all time. Last year's game was really, really good. I think this game's going to take a step back. But I'm okay to take a step back to take two steps forward next year.
Yeah, I think if what I've heard of the game, it's very... The gameplay is not that great. Like, they pretty much put all their concentration in the graphics and making it graphically a superior game. But in terms of the modes, in terms of everything else, it's not as good as what it's been in recent years. At least that's what I've heard. We'll have to see if that's true.
Yeah, I'll have a review of it next week because I get the game on Tuesday.
Yeah. Which means I get to see more Wyatts.
Yeah, she'll be seeing Wyatts. And she'll be, so pretty. And speaking of Wyatts.
Yeah, speaking of Wyatts.
What's our question of the night?
Who is Eric Rowan searching for?
And our listenership, our dear, dear listenership, says Lindsay Ward.
I love you guys so much.
They also said Natty and Renee Young, but we had Lindsay Ward a few times.
I will happily give that child a home. Happily do it. So who do you think he's looking for?
Well, our theory from earlier kind of seems like, huh, that may be right. The grumpy cat is a she. I want it to be Renee Young. I think that would be kind of cool. I want to see what Renee Young... I want to see... On the one side, it's a stupid move to use Renee Young, but at the same time, it could be very, very funny to use Renee Young. I think she could play it off very, very well. Just imagine this, right? Because she's the commentator for Superstars. Eric Rowan comes out on Superstars and just sits next to her, watches her commentate. She gets so uncomfortable, it'd be tremendous. I would actually have to watch Superstars if that happened.
Well, it's just, it's one of the things that they never, or they haven't done with the Wyatts yet, is they get a love interest. And they probably will not do that with many of the characters because they don't lend themselves to that. Especially Luke and Bray. Eric's really the one that you can do this with where you could potentially make it work. And I like the idea that they're not using a diva. I like that they're using Renee. Because she's someone that you can have her disappear for a little bit if you need to and come back. And the product isn't necessarily hurt by that disappearance. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you have Eric wandering around looking for her. You know, he goes down to ringside because, well, she commentates sometimes. So he goes down to ringside looking for her. He's in the interview area looking for her. And she's not there. You have Eric Rowan searching for her.
He went to the backstage on the app and stalked Tom Phillips because he was looking for Renee. He was so lonely. He was looking for love.
I don't know if he's looking for love. I think he's just looking for someone. Because if you think about it, I mean, you look at the Eric Rowan character and you look at the way that the guy plays him. He's essentially a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
He has the mental capacity of about a 5-year-old. And he's trapped in a grown man's body. And so he's very awkward. He doesn't necessarily know what to do all the time. And that's where Bray and Luke came in. Because Bray and Luke pushed Eric in the direction that they wanted him to go. I think on his own. And I can thank Sam for this on Tumblr. Is that on his own, I'm with her on this. Eric isn't violent. I don't think he's violent. I think he doesn't know his own strength. And I think things happen, but in terms of violence, I don't think Eric is necessarily violent. It's only when Bray or Luke get in his ear that he gets violent.
They unleash the psychopathic rage and violence out of him.
Yeah, they pull the monster out of him and they turn him loose on the world. Because I think on his own, Eric is just Eric. And he's... There's this natural curiosity about him. There's this nurturing quality about the character where he's... Because if you actually watch him, you go back and you watch him during the Wyatt matches, he's always wanting to help or he's always trying to help or he's naturally investigating things and looking at things and he's distracted with things. Like, it's just, it's the subtle ways that he plays the character. So it's, he's this very curious, big child who thinks Renee Young is pretty. And it's one of those things where Bray has gone off on his own, Luke has gone off on his own, and now Eric's all alone, and he doesn't have anybody. And he's probably, he's had this for, counting NXT, 2 to 3 years of constant companionship and people telling him, okay, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. And now he doesn't have that, and he doesn't know what to do. And I think he's looking for the companionship again, the camaraderie maybe even again. And I think he thinks that he could find that in Renee.
Possibly.
Because I honestly just, I don't see the character processing the concept of love, at least in the general way that we think about love. If that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I would be interested to see if he... We bring up awkwardness, right?
Right.
What if it's Emma?
No, Emma wouldn't work. There aren't a lot of divas you could do this with where it would work.
I was more going for the awkwardness, because she displays some of it in the stuff she does with Heath Slater on the JBL show. And it's like, I could see them going that direction, though.
I can see them going that direction, but I think she's a little too aloof. I think Natty's a little bit too prissy. I really think Renee is the way to go on this, because it's something of... There is a way to tie her back into Dean Ambrose if you really want to. If you really need to. Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
But she's somebody that you can... She's well-liked by the audience, generally. And she's somebody that you can do things to and with and not necessarily have to worry too much about her. Which is not meant in a bad way. It's just, you know, say something happens to her and she gets hurt, they don't have to scramble. She could still technically do the part injured if she had to.
Right.
She doesn't have to worry about wrestling. She doesn't have to worry about... A lot of the things that the normal divas have to worry about, and I think that's why she would be a better choice than, say, an Emma or a Natty or any other, or Summer Rae or whoever.
Yeah, Renee, best way, she's as innocent as he is in some ways.
Right, and the thing is she would be nice to him.
Yeah. So. We'll see what happens, I guess, on that one.
I guess we will, and, well, speaking of Luke, the other child of Bray Wyatt...
I'm a team player.
What the hell? Like, you have Luke Harper drag Ziggler in like some dead animal for the authority? I mean, what the hell, man? And then on top of it, what's worse is I was in the car the next day going to work... And I realize, I'm like, God, he was such a cat last night. And then it's, oh, God, he's not just a cat. He's a palace cat. Oh, my God, Luke Harper's a palace cat. And that's all I could think of all day long. And I went into periodic stitches. But I liked how they reintroduced Luke like that, where it's, he just brings them a body.
Yeah, he just finds this body lying around. Hey, see what I can do for you? I'm a team player.
Yeah, he just... And you know it's like he did that crap to Bray all the time. Whether, like, in thinking about the characters, if they're real people, you know he did that to Bray.
Whether it was
at least once.
Whether it was a body, a dead animal, something.
Yeah, it's basically, here, I have brought you a present, a peace offering, if you will. Please accept it. And that's exactly what he did with the authority, is like... Because everybody is like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to do that. Nope, Luke just goes and does it and then brings you the proof of it after he's done.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in what they do, how they handle Luke. And They brought back the Wyatt family. They're all three individuals, but they're on TV again.
Yes, and it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward from here.
And watch SmackDown, everybody. Mr. Wyatt.
Mr. Wyatt's going to have some fun.
He has some fun on Friday Night SmackDown. Just pointing this one out.
Yes, and speaking of fun, we're happy to announce, because I think we're done with the topics.
Yes.
That we have an interview next week. We are speaking with the amazing Paul O'Brien. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. Can't wait to talk to him.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Paul O'Brien next week on the show. For those who don't know who he is, he's the author of Blood Red Turns Dollar Green. It'll be volume 3 of his brand new book. It's a best-selling pro wrestling crime trilogy. And that's coming out soon, so we'll talk to him all about that next week on this program, which happens to be at what time?
10 p.m. Eastern.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow this show on Twitter at WTR_Rack at Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out RackRadioShow.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. Interviews are up there. We'll have NXT stuff up there. Raw post show, that sort of thing, all on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/WTRTheRack. You can check out the previous episodes of The Rack Extra. They'll be up there as well. They're right now on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday Night Midnight Edition is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. You can follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. Use the hashtag BlameRob and check out CBRadioLive.com Sunday night. 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They will preview Survivor Series and whatever else they feel like talking about at WTR Sunday night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And as Lindsay said, next week, Paul O'Brien joins the program here on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern, plus Survivor Series, NXT, and so much more. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You can check out the show on iTunes, search for The Rack Radio Show or Wild Talk Radio Network. Same on Stitcher as well. And listen to the show, any show, on TuneIn Radio. Get the app, it's free. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Thank you so much to everybody that's listening. That will listen. We love you guys. You're amazing. Don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!